amen and amen. The Lord is indeed calling us as a church in large to go all in for Him.
What if
the Lord, right, has called for us to be more than just people who attend a church service every once in a while, but has called for us to be more than that, to go deeper? What if the Lord has called us to be more than just tippers every once in a while, his offering plate, but rather has called us to invest in building a kingdom that will never perish, according to the Scripture? What if God has called us to go all in? What if He's called us to go all in? Well, I'll go ahead and answer that question for you. He has. And the call for all of us, right, is to choose to go all in, both personally, but also us as a church at large, to go all in for Him. He's calling us to go deeper in these days. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about what that looks like. Essentially, the next steps vision piece for the, foreseeable, few years, next three or so years, where God is leading us as a church in large, right? And I tell you what, I'll go ahead and let you know beforehand, man, whenever we talk about vision, next step, man, I get pretty fired up. And so, excuse me if I get a little excited, get a little fired up, man, whenever God puts a vision right in our heart, man, it ought to stir us up, ought to fire us up, right? Because, man, with that, we get a chance to join in His mission to reach people for Him. And so, man, may we choose to do that. Before I talk about the future, right, and where God is taking us as a church in large, right, want to highlight the past a little bit. We've talked about this the last several weeks, but if you didn't know this already, this Sunday marks a year, right, that Tylertown, we've been in our actual building. And so, man, we're super excited about that, super excited for what the Lord has done. But before we talk about the future, I want us to go ahead and reflect upon what all He's done in the last year. And so if you wouldn't mind, go ahead and turn your attention to the screen there as we show this video.
Faithful through the ages. God of Abraham, You're the God of covenant and faithful promises. Time and time again, You have proven to do just what You say. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast.
And
let my heart speak the word, it will come to pass.
Great
is
Your faithfulness.
Is Your faithfulness to me, from the rising sun to the setting sun, I will praise Your name. Great is Your faithfulness to me.
Amen. He indeed has been good. Some of you guys have just joined us on this journey here at Tylertown Church. Many of you, I'm looking around, have been with us since day one, in the hotel days at Hilton Garden Inn. But regardless of where you've joined us, man, the Lord's been faithful. Man, He is moving and He's working, it's been a great year. But I've got some good news, Brother Dwayne. Hey, God's been moving, but He's just getting started. And so listen, church, man, it's time for us to go all in for Him and to join Him in His work. I love what the theologian, author, Henry Blackaby, who wrote Experiencing God, what he said one time. He says this, man, God is always at work. the call for us as believers is to choose to join him in that work. And that's what we're going to talk about over the next several weeks. So if you've got a Bible, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and this morning we're going to go through a little presentation. I'm going to preach, you know, through the presentation, if you will. But we're going to go through a presentation and really highlight what the Lord has put in our heart as a church in large between here and our Sango location, right? And so 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we're going to be. But answering that question, right, why are we choosing to go all in? Why are we choosing to push our chips to the center of the table and saying, God, we're sold out for you? It's simply because of this, man. Jesus went all in for us. And so, man, our response ought to be for us to choose to go all in for him. Jesus went all in for us, so our response is to choose to go all in for him. I love that old hymn. I've referenced it a few times from the platform here, right? That old hymn, that last stanza of the verse where it says this, love so amazing, love so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Man, the love of Jesus, man, hey, him going all in for us, dying on the cross so we could have life in him, right? Because he's done that and we've received him as Lord and Savior, man, the call for us, our response is to go all in for him. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 14, and we're going to read through verse 21. And then we'll go from there. Here's what the word of the Lord says. Paul, talking about his ministry, addressing the churches in Corinth, the Christians that are there, and really highlighting why he does what he does, why he is in ministry, doing the work of the Lord. Starting in verse 14, look what it says. For the love of Christ controls us, or compels us, because of Christ's love. Because we've concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who might live no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Let me pause here and throw this in free charge. A lot of folks like to use those two verses there, right, to affirm a thought known as universalism, meaning this, that, hey, at the end of the day, everybody gets in. Hey, because Jesus died on the cross, man, everybody gets in, whether you choose to repent and trust in him or not. Well, we know throughout Scripture that that's not true, right? Man, you end up, man, having a relationship with God or entering into heaven through repentance and faith in Christ. But again, the context of this, Paul is addressing the Christians that are there in Corinth. He's talking to those that are saved. He's saying this, like we've talked about through the book of Galatians, what we just finished. Hey, because Christ died, man, and you've received him as Lord and Savior, you too have also died. Galatians 2:20, man, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so listen, at the end of the day, hey, man, you only come to God through repentance and faith in Jesus. A gift is only a gift as long as it's received. And we've got to receive Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. Let me go ahead and, you know, make sure to put that out there for each other. And because we've received him, church, we have died to the old self, which Paul is going to highlight here in a second. Starting in verse 16, let's go back to the text. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself. Hello, not counting their trespasses against us. Aren't you glad, hey, God doesn't count our trespasses against us in him? Aren't you glad for that? Doesn't mean that we have a license to do whatever we want. Hey, but that means that we don't have to live in guilt and shame and us falling short. Then no longer counts our sins and trespasses against us. But rather has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, verse 21, one of my favorite verses in all the scripture, the gospel. For our sake, he made him, talking about Christ, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The call for us is to go all in, church, to go all in. Why don't we pray together? Lord, we love you. Pray for these next few moments, Lord, that you'd speak to us. Lord, challenge us to be folks that choose to be all in for you in these days. We love you. We thank you. We ask these things all in your gracious and heavenly name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. This call to go all in stems from the reality of who we are and why we exist in large. Listen, we exist to, as we just sang in the song, to magnify the Lord. We exist to glorify Him. Right? We exist to worship Him. And that worship, right, consists of more than just worship with our lips, but also worship with our life, as I highlighted time and time again from up here. Man, we are called to, man, to live a life that's pleasing, that glorifies Him. Called to live a life as an agent of hope. Right? Not just living for ourselves because we've died to ourselves in Christ. Not just living for ourselves, but living so that others, man, can come to know this message. That Jesus Christ is alive. We know, man, and look around, man, there's folks that are hurting all around us. And so the call for us, right, in response is to choose to be all in. Right? As we walk through this presentation, you'll see the four C's of all in. You know, hey, I'll be honest, I'm a Southern Baptist at heart, so I got to alliterate everything best way I can. You know, some of you guys will get that later. But, hey, listen, we got the four C's of all in, right? And essentially, this all in vision piece, this all in campaign piece. The first C is this, man. We got to be folks that choose to be all in for Christ. Got to be all in for Christ. And you see there why we're all in for Him. Right? We're all in for Him because He's the hope of mankind. He gave His all for us. And so our response is to give our all to Him. To Him. Man, the call for us is to be all in for Christ. This campaign that we're launching this next 3 years of us looking to continue to build God's kingdom, it starts with us being all in for Jesus. And that's what Paul is getting at here. Hey, the reason why, man, he is doing what he's doing, man. The reason why he's sacrificing, you know, he's been shipwrecked a few times, man. There's point in time where he was beat just about to death. Reason why he's there in Corinth, man. He went to Corinth to preach the gospel and he's continuing to go around. The reason why he did all that stuff was because, man, he was all in for Jesus. He sold out. He wanted to be all in so that folks would come to know him. And again, that is our call. Real quick, these points aren't on the screen, but just a couple of points based on what we see here in the text pertaining to what it means to be all in for Jesus. Why are we all in for Him? Based on what we see here in 2 Corinthians 5. First off, man, we're called to be all in for Jesus because, man, He changed us. He changed us. That's what Paul says here. He says this, that, man, the love of Christ controlled him, right, and talks about how in Christ now we've died. But then verse 16 says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. In Christ, we have been changed. Let me go ahead and put it this way, Brother Justin, you'll like this. Hey, in Christ, we're not reformed. We've been reborn. Let me go ahead and say the other side here. Maybe y'all appreciate it over here. Hey, listen. Hey, talking about the change that's taking place in our heart. Listen, in Christ, we have not been reformed, right? An outward fixing, if you will, of ourselves. We've been reborn. There's been a change on the inside. That process known as regeneration, a $5 word to speak to the process of what God has done when we surrendered our heart and life to Him. Been changed. We are totally different. Totally different. And so the call for us is to walk in that difference. And we see what Paul talks about here whenever it talks about his, you know, us being changed, being different. Listen, he's changed us in a few different ways, right? First off, right, this change that has taken place in our heart and life, it changes now the way that we view people. He talks about that. He says we no longer regard people according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we don't regard Him as such anymore. Man, it changes the way we view people. I love what this commentary put pertaining to this change, right, and how we view people. Because all things have become new, we also have a new view of people around us. Listen, we see them as broken people, as sinners for whom Christ died for. We no longer see them as friends or enemies, customers or co-workers. We see them the way Christ sees them, as lost sheep who need a shepherd. And when you're constrained by the love of Christ, you want to share His love with others. Listen, hey, we see people different. Paul is speaking from personal experience. Man, hey, he looked down upon people before he got saved. And now, man, he's looking to reach those same people he looked down upon. In the same way, the call is for us. Man, we see people different. Hey, we no longer just see, hey, oh, that person, man, he's got that certain color skin. Oh, hey, oh, that person, man, oh, he's wearing that. He's must be from that side of town or have that socioeconomic status. We no longer see folks like that. See them the way Christ sees them. Right? That person that's struggling, we see them as perhaps a sheep without a shepherd that needs Jesus. And we respond accordingly, man. We see how, man, this change that took place in us, it changed the way we view people, but also, listen, it changes the way we view ourselves. Verse 17 talks about that. Anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. Whenever we think of the word, you know, the phrase passed away, right? We think of death. We think about death. Think about a funeral. You know, with death, there's usually always a funeral that takes place. And we usually think of that as a somber moment. Hey, but this death that Paul's talking about here is not that. Hello. Hey, this death to our past is not something that is somber. What Paul is saying here is this, that man, there was a funeral that took place whenever we surrendered to Christ. Hey, our past is dead. Funeral that's taking place there. Whenever Christ, man, said it is finished on Calvary's tree, man, broke the power of sin, death, and hell. And those of us who've surrendered to Christ, man, hey, our life is dead, our old life. Been a funeral that's taken place there. The old is dead and gone. But here's the thing. Some of us in here, we've forgotten to attend it. We've forgotten to attend the funeral. What do I mean by that? Some of us in here, we haven't received Christ Jesus as Lord, and so there has been no death that's taken place. There has been no funeral for us. Others in here, man, we do know Christ. Our life is, man, our old life is dead. The new life lives in us. But man, we've forgotten that. And so we're living a life based on just our old identity. We're living a life based on this thought that, man, I mean, because of my past, I can't serve God. Because of what I make, or my struggles, I can't give to Him. Because of the stuff I've walked through in life, man, I can't be a part of His work. Hey, some of us need to go back and attend that funeral for our past. And once and for all, reckon it dead. And walk in the freedom that we have in Christ. Listen, it changes the way we view ourselves. And then, secondly and lastly, right, the reason why we are all in for Christ. Number one, because He's changed us. But number two, because He's called us. Because He's called us. Verse 18 through 21 talks about that. Man, He saved us, He changed us, but now the call for us is to walk as ambassadors for Him. We have been given this message of reconciliation. So the call for us is to walk in that. The call for us is to walk in that. The call for us is to be more than just folks that, man, just attend on a Sunday morning every once in a while. Man, but to be a part of His work. And folks coming to know Him as Lord and Savior. Here it is. All of us are called. Those of us who know Christ, all of us are called. We're called to be a part of His kingdom work. Might not be called to vocational ministry, may not be called to, you know, preach or, you know, to be someone on church staff, but you're called to minister. And so we've got to walk in that ministry there. Listen, all in for Christ, right? What Paul talks about here can be summed up in these four words we see on the screen there. Love, sacrifice, reconciliation, and communication. Right, being all in for Christ means that we're folks that choose to love Him. Because of the love of Christ compels us. Man, we walk in what Brother Ben talked about last week, this agape love, choosing to love people, no matter what they look like, no matter how much they get on your nerves, no matter the struggles, no matter their political affiliation, no matter what side of the tracks they are. Hey, call to be all in for Christ is a call to love people, truly love them. Secondly is this, a call to love, to be all in for Christ is a call to sacrifice. Called a sacrifice. Listen, again, God didn't just call us to live a life, man, where we satisfy ourselves, take care of ourselves. Man, hey, He died to give us life. And so, man, we owe our life to Him. And what that looks like is choosing to live a life of sacrifice. Give it all to Him. Hey, that looks like this. Us choosing to be folks that do more than just tip the offering plate every once in a while. But folks that say, you know what, God, hey, first off, this is your money anyway, so I'm going to give it to you. Hey, that looks like this. Us choosing to be folks that give our time. God, I know I'm busy, but man, that person, that coworker, man, I know he needs Jesus, so I'm going to step in and serve them. Sacrifice some of my time to be able to serve them. Living a life of sacrifice. That's what it looks like for us to be all in. Thirdly, this. It looks like this. Reconciliation. Preaching this message, right? That anyone on this side of eternity can be brought back into a relationship with God. Anyone can. And so us preaching that message of reconciliation and stepping into the lives of people and imploring them to come back to God. And fourthly, this, the communication element. Romans 10 tells us this. How can folks hear the message if there's no preacher? What if God has called you to be the preacher in your sphere of influence to that person that doesn't know Christ? I'll go ahead and answer that question for you. He has. If you know Jesus, He has. And so stepping in and communicating the gospel message to them. Man, Jesus loves them, died for them. And the response is to choose to repent of their sins and trust in Him. Listen, this call is for us to be all in for Christ. Before we talk about buildings, before we talk about money, all that stuff, I want for us to understand this reality. At the end of the day, man, it starts with us being all in for Jesus. And so are you all in for Him? You all in for Him? We're going to walk through the three C's, the remaining three C's, this all-in campaign here. And as we're walking through it, you know, again, reflect on. We're going to talk through some needs, right, that we see here in our community and how we're looking to step into those over the next few years. But man, reflect on God's faithfulness. Reflect on what He's done in your life personally, but also what He's done in the life of Tylertown in large. And see that, man, hey, there's nothing He can't do. Nothing He can't do. He's willing to move and work here. And so the first C, us being all in for Christ. Paul talks about that 2 Corinthians 5. The next C is this. God is calling us in this season to be all in for Clarksville. Be all in for our city. I've heard it said once before, a church that no longer regards the need to reach its city and be in its city, to share the hope of Jesus in its city, is a church that's going to become obsolete at the end of the day. That's a church that God doesn't bless. Listen, God is calling us to be all in for our city, man, stepping into the needs of our community and providing hope there. And you see the different reasons for that. You see that there's an immense need in our community. Man, we got tons of growth coming. 90,000 people over the next 20 years that are coming to our city. And so first and foremost, man, hey, we got to stay prayed up regarding the traffic, if you know what I'm saying. That 90,000 people coming in the next 20 years, go ahead and say that. You got to stay prayed up, make sure, you know, you don't act a fool, you know, with all this traffic coming around. But listen, not 90,000 people coming. Hey, hear it. That 90,000 is representative of many folks that may need the Lord. Clarksville's growing rapidly. Seems like there's a church on every corner, but hey, the statistics say that there's close to 90% of people that are unchurched here. And so there's a big need, man. Clarksville growth, Clarksville demographics, 29 years old and two kids. A lot of you in here perhaps fit that demographic, man. Young city. Families trying to figure it out. We want to step in and minister to them. Serve them. Care for them. Let them know of the hope of Jesus, man. That Jesus, and Jesus, that's the only hope for mankind. It's choosing to surrender to Him. And then you see some of the other needs there that we want to step in and reach and connect with. Schools, APSU, military, right? Hunger, homelessness, families. Man, there's a lot of needs here, and you guys are aware of those, but we want to step in, right, and continue to provide hope for those. And here are a couple of different ways that we're looking to do that, right? This Hope First slide, you see some of those pictures. Number one is this Habitat House, right? We built a Habitat House for a family in need. Over the next 3 years, we're looking to do one a year. Looking to do one a year. And so we believe God's leading us in that direction. Again, we just want to provide hope for our folks in our community that are in need of it. Next thing down there is Manna Cafe. You may not know this, but one in every six people here in Clarksville go to bed hungry every night. One in every six. And so hunger is a big need, especially in certain areas of town. And so, man, that's why manna exists. And we want to partner with them and continue to bless and provide for those in need. You see, back to school, right? We got a lot of kids. Clarksville's full of young families, young kids. We want to step in and continue to minister and bless our schools, take care of our schools. And so we're partnered up here on the north side, Tylertown. We're partnered up with some schools on the north side. Our Sango campus, they're partnered up with schools on the south side. And so all together, man, we want to continue to reach and bless schools for His name. And then lastly, their special needs ministry. Oh, as we continue to grow and we see God continue to bring folks, we want to reach a very unreached people group. Reach and bless those that may have special needs and continue to encourage them. And so, man, we want to be all in for Clarksville. Again, before we talk about building, before we talk about money, hey, understand that, man, it's more than that. It's about us bringing hope to our city. It's about us making a difference for His kingdom glory. Third C is this. We want to be all in for children. Next few years, we want to be all in for children. You see that statement there. I look around. I know a lot of you guys in here have kids. You know this to be true. Why we need to be all in for children? You see that statement. If we don't capture the next generation, somebody else will. That's the truth. That's the truth. If we don't capture the next generation, somebody else will. So why don't we step in, right, continue to minister to kids, provide them the only hope, right, which is Jesus. So that they can be folks, man, that come to know Him and look to make disciples as well. Folks talk about this, you know, next generation going to hell in a handbasket. Well, I got news for you. It doesn't have to. It doesn't have to. We can step in and continue to bring the hope of Jesus, man. We want to invest in children. You see that there. We want to invest in child care and kids and student ministry so the next generation will have hope. And then you see that statement from Jesus Himself. Matthew 19:14. He says this, let the little children come to me. Disciples are trying to shoo him away. Like, hey, listen, Jesus is busy. Kids, you ain't got time to come over here. Jesus said, no, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Man, Jesus loved kids, and we need to as well. And so we want to be all in for children. And then the fourth C is this, us choosing to be folks that are all in for the church. All in for the church. Why? Because the local church is the hope for the world. Listen to me carefully. Folks are not going to find hope through scrolling on social media. Folks aren't going to find the hope of the gospel through CNN or Fox News or any other news outlet. Folks are going to find hope, right, through, obviously, the saints of God stepping in and preaching the gospel, but also, man, through the hub of the local church, a church that preaches the gospel, the church that loves people. And so we want to continue to invest in the church. We want to show the world that the church is essential. It's essential to being a lighthouse for the community. And so that's why we want to be all in for the church. And so you see some of the statements there. Let me go ahead and say this too. You see Sango, Tylertown, New Providence. At the end of the day, listen, it's not Sango here and then Tylertown in terms of being all in. Man, it's us together. Pastor Derek, right, lead pastor, was preaching at Sango right now. He's telling Sango folks, Sango family, hey, we're all in for Tylertown. And so in the same way, I want for us to say, hey, listen, we're all in, not just for us, but we're all in for Sango as well. Because we're all in it together. Hear me. At the end of the day, what we care about the most is seeing a city reach for Jesus. It doesn't matter about territory. It doesn't matter about, you know, who has more or who has less or who's able to do more. We just want to see a city reach for Jesus. And so, man, together, we're all in to building His church and building His kingdom. And so you see some of the numbers there, right? Sango, what this looks like is, in light of our service station, you can look around right now. It's packed out in here. Look around. It's packed. God has blown the roof off this place, right? Sango has grown a ton, you know, and so they're just about out of space. Here at Tylertown, we've grown a ton. We're just about out of space. We're having to go to three services. Or else, I mean, we'd have to put chairs out in the foyer. God's really, I mean, He's really doing the work, really growing us. We've just about tripled in attendance. And so with that being said, man, we believe that God's moving us to build His church. And so you see some of the building specs there. Sango looking at doing a 70,000 foot square building with some of the elements there. Another blessing, right, that we'll talk about here in a second is how God has provided, you know, for our church in large. And then you see for Tyler Town, same thing there. Similar building. Right? We're praying about land, where that will go, what that will look like. But man, God is, you know, calling us to continue to look to build a similar building. State-of-the-art facilities, breakout space, adult breakout spaces for us to be able to have groups on campus. And for us to be able to continue to reach people for Him. And then that third part there, New Providence, right? We believe that God's moving us to be a church revitalization, you know, or to essentially launch a third campus there. Hopefully, you know, it looked like church revitalization, but essentially us stepping in and looking to connect in that community there and reach people for Jesus out there. And so real quick, you see some confirmation pieces there. One big confirmation why we feel like God's calling us to move now is $2 million of land donated right at our Sango location. Man, right across the street in Sango, $2 million, 13 acres just gifted to us in large. Gifted. And so, man, praise God for that. Praise God for that. And by the way, hey, we're praying, man, that God will provide for us here at Tata. That's going to be part of, you know, what we'll talk about at the end of the service here next week, having a prayer meeting, asking for God to provide for land here. Tylertown growth, I mentioned it, man, we've just about tripled since, you know, the hotel days, man. Folks growing, countless stories of life change, man. That's what it's about. We see some of the other elements there, Chapel Hill Christian Academy, the little Christian school that meets on at Sango. See growth in overall giving, man. Our folks have been faithful. Y'all have been faithful to give. Church attendance coming out of COVID, we're about at 100% of that now. The faithfulness of God. Hey, some of you guys were with us, you know, a few of you now, but a few of you were with us back in 2018 whenever we launched the Hope campaign to launch out and connect in the Tylertown community. And what started in a little hotel is now this. Countless stories of life change. Folks coming to know Jesus, man. And that's a product of the faithfulness of God. 2 Timothy 2:13 says it this way. Hey, even when we're faithless, He's still faithful. Always faithful. And so, man, we rejoice in that. And then we've seen the countless stories of life change that have taken place. Countless stories of life change. So many people have experienced, you know, have come to know Jesus and their lives have been changed. One guy in particular drove by, man. He hardly ever went to church. Drove by the building. Felt prompted to come with his family. They came. After the service, I don't even remember what I preached on. After the service, we meet out in the parking lot there. He comes and finds me. He's wrecked. Man, God wrecks him. Aren't you glad, by the way, that God's still in the business of wrecking people? Still in business of meeting people where they are. Wrecks him. Said, hey, man, I need to meet with somebody, you know, and read the Bible together. So we begin reading. Read through the book of John. Meeting up. Get some coffee here. A couple weeks later, about 3:30, I'm at the house. It's football season, probably watching the Cowboys after a Sunday, probably watching them lose. They were bad last year, didn't they? Neither here nor there. But he shoots me a text, says, hey, Pastor Irvin, man, I just gave my heart and life to Christ here at the house. And I want to get baptized next week. Comes and gets baptized. He came, right, because he was stationed here at Fort Campbell. Came because of that. Lost, far from God. He just got his papers and they're getting ready to PCS to another location. Hey, he's PCSing out as a missionary because he found the Lord. Countless stories of life. Hey, listen, church, that's what it's about. Continuing to see more folks come to know Him. Continue to see more folks grow in the grace and knowledge of Him. Man, there's countless stories. Folks getting saved, growing in Him, plugging into groups. And we want to continue to see that take place. Real quick, and then we'll be done this morning. By the way, we've got baptism right after this service here. Baptizing six, talking about God and His work. Baptizing six outside after the service. So, man, make sure you stay for that. But real quick, walking through these slides here, just some thoughts on what the building will look like. See that space there? Awesome, seeing some pictures there, right? Man, would love to build a... You know, building that, man, again, can continue to be a lighthouse in our community for Him. Building that has space for us to be able to do what we want to do. A space that folks from the community can come to 7 days a week to be a part of. We want to continue to do that again to build His kingdom. And so real quick, timeline here. You see some of those pictures there. Timeline, and then we'll be finished today. What we're thinking, again, a three-year process. What we're seeing is this. Number one, we see that, man, we believe that 2022, spring of 2022, man, we'd break ground on our Sango building. Again, the reason why, right, we're going with Sango first is because they have land. They were donated land, 13 acres. And so we're looking to break ground there at Sango. Easter 23 is when Sango would move into their building. Man, we'd celebrate with them. All the while, us looking to start building here at Tylertown, man. Again, this is a tentative timeline. God could do whatever he wants. Tomorrow, God could provide land for us. And then, man, we'll adjust and move forward. But we're just, like I said, putting a timeline out there. And so, Easter 2020, summer 2023, start building for Tylertown. Easter 2024, move into our Tylertown building. And then, at the same time there, right around the fall, begin intentional ministry at New Providence. And then, fall of 2025, launch our third location, the New Providence campus there. You see there on the bottom, right, just some different goals we sense in order for us to break ground, right, there at Sango, $500,000. And then the three-year goal, right, for us to roll this thing out, was $2 million. Whenever you see those numbers, right, let me encourage you. Don't think expense, right, think investment. Think investment. Like we're talking about earlier, talking about being folks that are faithful stewards, good stewards. Hey, think investment. Think of the lives, again, that God's going to change. Hey, think of the marriages that are going to get restored, especially in context with this military area. Man, a lot of brokenness whenever it comes to marriage. Think of the marriages that are going to get restored. Think of the folks that are going to grow in the Lord. And they're going to leave as missionaries for Him. Think of that. And again, too, think, we're all in this together. Sango's in for us. We're in for Sango. Man, this is us together looking to reach a whole city for Him. Looking to reach a whole city for Him. So real quick, what does it look like to make this dream a reality? Hey, it looks like this. All of us choosing to go all in. All of us choosing to go all in. You say, Irv, man, hey, listen, man. Campaigns, you're talking about giving and money. Man, that's only for rich people. No, it's not. Because, hey, I wouldn't be a part of it. Bless God. No, I'm just kidding. I'm blessed. I'm just kidding. I'm blessed. It's not just for rich people. It's not just for folks that have an abundance. Listen, it's for all of us. Whether you can give a dollar or you're able to give in abundance, man. Hey, the call for you is to go all in and invest in this. Again, investing in eternity. Investing in life change. Investing in life change. All of us going all in. As I wrap up here, we finish up. I'm pumped. As you can probably tell, I'm excited about where the Lord is taking us. This is just the beginning. Hey, what we've seen this last year is just the beginning. Truly believe that. Truly believe God is wanting to use us to reach a city for Him. And so the call for us is to go all in, right? To invest our resources. To be folks that understand that, man, in Christ, we're called to live life open-handed. What we have isn't ours anyway. The call for us is to give. It's to give. And so what we're challenging, right, myself, our staff, both locations, what we're challenging our folks to do is to consider a couple of things. One, consider what it looks like, right, to give the highest, right, first fruits offering you've ever given. Maybe some of you are new to church, you don't know what that is. First fruits offering is on October the 3rd. We're going to gather, right, those first fruits offering. And so I want you and your family to pray and consider what that looks like in your household. And choose to respond and give. And join me in that. And then over the next 3 years, pray with your family about what it looks like to give to this all-in campaign so we can be folks that choose to reach people for Him. It's more than money. It's about seeing lives changed. It's about us choosing to go all in. Love what Jim Elliot said. Brother Ben talked about him last week, and then I'll pray. Love what he said. One of his famous quotes. He said, he or she is no fool to give up what he can't keep to gain what he can't lose. He or she is no fool to give up what he can't keep to gain what he can't lose. At the end of the day, hey, stuff our resources, man, we can't take it with us. Can't take it with us. And so why don't we invest in stuff that matters at the end of the day? That's going to stand for eternity. Why don't we invest in life change? Why don't we be folks that choose to invest our time and resources in seeing folks reach for the gospel? Will you choose to go all in? Because I'm going all in. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the band comes up as we get ready to pray. Again, over the next several weeks, right, we believe that it's going to set the trajectory for the next few years. But in the midst of it, I believe God's really wanting to grow us in a couple of areas. Grow us in personal witness, understanding that, man, this is, life's not about us, it's about Him, sharing the gospel with Him. He wants to grow us in being folks that are generous with our resources, generous with what we've been given, because we know that it's not ours anyway. And so may we be folks that choose to go all in. See folks' lives change. Be folks that go all in for Christ. Go all in for Clarksville, for children, for the church. I'm going to pray here in a second. And as I pray, listen, you... spend some time with the Lord. Maybe you're in here and the reality is, man, kind of clench your fist a little bit whenever we talk about money and finances, because living life is more of a hoarder of your stuff than one that's living life open-handed. Maybe your response is to say, God, all I have is yours. Lead me and guide me to what that looks like. Maybe you're in here and the truth of the matter is, the reason why you can't be all in is because, man, you've never died. Hey, listen, everything must die to rise again. What that looks like is you surrendering your heart and life to Christ and entering a relationship with Him. Maybe you're in here and God's calling you deeper in terms of service and ministry, plugging into a group, family group. I don't know where you are today, but I'm going to pray for us. And when I say, man, we're going to stand and sing. Listen, you do business with the Lord. Do business with Him. Why don't we pray together? Lord, we love You. Thank You for today, Lord. God, we thank You for tasking us with the mission, Lord, to give hope to our world. What a privilege. What a privilege. God, I pray for our people here today, Lord, as we look to what You have planned for the future, Lord. I pray that we jump in. As Henry Blackaby said, we know that You're working. I pray that we would join You in the work. And what that looks like for us is going all in for You. God, teach us how to be better stewards of our stuff, not hoarders of it. Teach us to live life open-handed with our time, with our finances. And look to invest in what matters, which is building Your kingdom, giving hope. Giving to life change. Knowing that, God, You'll bless me. God, continue to have Your way this morning. We ask these things all in Your gracious and heavenly name. Amen.